Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's Power Hour, LSU.
So, injury report, availability. So from a Whit Week standpoint, he has participated in team events. He participated today as well. He has been on a pitch count, limited. He is probably a game day decision. We'll continue to monitor him throughout the duration of the week. So he's been engaged. He's been practicing, but it'll probably be a game day decision for Whit Weeks. In the case of Aaron Anderson, he is available. He's full go. He'll be ready to roll. In the case of Carius Kern, he is full go. He's ready to go. Probable, but a little nagging injury reoccurred itself with Garrett Nussmeier today. And so I think he's probable. But a little bit concerning, something that we need to monitor and continue to watch with him as we head into the game.
Wow, let's freaking go. I hope Garrett is okay. But could we have an open door policy here for the Michael Van Buren era? Who is the emergency third quarterback? We need to answer all of these questions in the next hour. We'll have an Arkansas expert join us around 6:30. You're going to love him. And look, the truth remains the same for me. LSU needs to start Michael Van Buren in this game. If I were Michael Van Buren, we have obviously discussed the redshirt situation all week here on PHL. If I were him and I were in his spot right now, I would say, look, if I am doing something that is sacrificing for me a six-figure sum of money, theoretically, in my fifth theoretical year of eligibility, you better guarantee me that I'm going to get the start instead of just being the backup who occasionally comes into the game. So now, is this the time for LSU to say, look, we are rolling with Michael Van Buren at 11:45 a.m. Central versus the Arkansas Razorbacks on Saturday? We released a pretty deep film study on Power Hour SEC. You could also see it on Power Hour LSU. They have this cool thing now on YouTube, which is called the collaboration feature. And guess what? We are live on both Power Hour LSU and Power Hour SEC because, of course, we do have a pretty large Arkansas contingent of fans that watch the channel. So the truth is simple. if we're going to break down the current LSU quarterback situation, we're going to talk about head coaching rumors. There's a Lane rumor floating around. We'll get to that in a second. LSU has a decision to make. Michael Van Buren has a separate but related decision to make. So the way it works is if you play four games or fewer in any season of your four-year collegiate career, you get a fifth year of eligibility. It's just that simple. So Michael Van Buren, who is a year two player, last season at Mississippi State, played more than four games. Their starting quarterback, Blake Shapen, who's good, got hurt, and MVB won the backup role as a true freshman. And he played quite a few games. I think it was nine specifically. So he is in year two with no redshirt having been used yet. And so far this season, he has played three games. So he can only play one more game and the bowl game to preserve redshirt eligibility. No longer does he redshirt eligibility be affected by the bowl game. Okay. So MVB has to choose, is the extra two games of playing time worth losing your final year of eligibility in a season that's lost, in a season where there's going to be more than likely a coaching change? What if the new coach doesn't want you to be the quarterback at all? So there are a lot of things at play. And then, of course, we have the wild card here, which is Garrett Nussmeier getting nicked up at practice today. So what does that mean? Well, it is time to just start Michael Van Buren. If now that Garrett is hurt, you have got to see what you have. And you need to give MVB a chance to actually start. Now, moving forward, and LSU probably should have learned their lesson a few years ago when, ironically, Doug Nussmeier told Ed Orgeron this. It is not smart, if you're trying to do the redshirt thing, to play a guy in mop-up duty. It's just not smart. And we did versus Southeastern. We put MVB in versus Texas A&M. And I know a lot of you are tired of the redshirt conversation, but that's what this comes down to. I do think MVB is going to burn it. I do. But we'll see what happens. But I don't know anything about Garrett's injury. This just happened, apparently. Now, tinfoil hat. If you're listening, I'm doing a visual here. Tinfoil hat being put on. It is suspicious that Garrett has this nagging situation happen today. I don't know. It's very strange. It's very, very, very strange. I will also say this, and this will always hurt your team in the long run. The worst position to be in is quarterback limbo. It's, well, is our quarterback healthy? Is our quarterback available? In order for you to survive a situation like this, you better have a firm plan in place. Perfect example, San Francisco 49ers this year. Brock Purdy's been out with a lingering toe issue. So, guess what? They had Mac Jones, who is a very good backup, and the 49ers are still in the thick of it. And now, even though they were back and forth with who they were going to play, they're now in position to have Brock Purdy come back and figure out what they're going to do next. The Bengals think they thought they had it with Jake Browning. He magically started stinking, and so they had to go get Joe Flacco. You're only as good as your backup quarterback. It doesn't matter how good of a player you have on your team. The second most important player on your team is always your backup quarterback. In any situation, that's how valuable the quarterback has been. And the problem for LSU is with Garrett and this injury situation and this Michael Van Buren redshirt situation, We were always in a position, this team, in quarterback limbo. Is Garrett healthy or is he not? How much is he actually injured? Is he actually injured at all? And then with Michael Van Buren, are we going to redshirt him or are we going to not? It's a tough spot to be in at all times when you're asking questions about who your best player is. So, yes, this Garrett Nussmeier probable thing is something that I am raising my eyebrows about. I'm not going to say that he's hurt or he's not hurt or whatever. Any of you should have a BS meter just to say, hey, this is kind of strange, the timing of this. So we'll see. Once again, I know little about that. Okay. But yes, we said to Tony, King M. Carter says, please don't speculate with rumors. Leave that to Rufino to spread rumors. Well, it's in a rumor. I'm not giving a rumor. I'm telling you, I played the clip from Frank Wilson. I'm just saying the time, anyone that would be looking at this from a non-LSU viewpoint would say, hey, the timing of that is very interesting, the Thursday before the game. But more than likely, he did get nicked up today at practice. Once again, I know nothing. Frank just announced it. I've had a busy afternoon. So I hope Garrett's healthy, like I said a minute ago. I will always be a Garrett Nussmeier fan. But I will say, something that has hurt this team is the constant speculation of Garrett's injury status. All right, I'm not even talking about what happened this week. It's earlier in the year. It's been constant, and it's tough to work around. Doesn't matter how you feel about Garrett. A lot of you don't like him. I've defended Garrett nonstop. If you don't believe me, listen to a full live stream yesterday pointing out how bad our supporting cast has been. It's been historically bad. Okay? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope Garrett's okay. Hope he's available because we could very much use him versus Arkansas. He played his best game, arguably, versus the Razorbacks last year. Now, we get into these Lane Kiffin rumors. It's kind of strange that there's a little bit of a strong push for you saw a lot more Lane Kiffin to LSU stuff, right? You've seen it. That is my number one guy. We've had a guest who has worked in college football predict that Lane Kiffin is actually going to go to LSU. And then the very next day, the Jeff Landry stuff started. But look, there's rumors about a flight tracker where a board of trustees flew to Oxford, whatever. I will tell you this. Lane could sign for whatever with Ole Miss right now. But he chose not to do it. Why would Ole Miss not give him the keys to the entire kingdom? Lane's keeping his options open. And I think that is a very non-secret type of thing that's going on right now in college football. He understands he is the biggest domino out there. He understands the leverage that he has as an offensive whiz kid. He understands that in an instant, he will immediately take any college football program to another level offensively. And it is without question that he is a top five offensive mind and probably top five program builder that we have in college football right now. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Obviously, he is still my number one candidate. I do understand, though, now with coaches in particular, you need to factor in cost. It's going to cost a lot. You need to give him a Kirby Smart contract. Do you really want to give Lane Kiffin a Kirby Smart contract to come here? Or something similar to that. Because I will tell you this, speaking to who I've spoken to in Oxford, and this could just be some red and navy and teal blue, light blue, powder blue, whatever colors they wear. My folks at Oxford say that Lane has no major disagreements with the higher-ups at Ole Miss. He has none. But that he understands the leverage he has in the position that he is in. Okay? So, we shall see what happens. Now, this was really cool. All right. Part of why the Garrett Nussmeier thing for me, you know, it was impossible for me to make any phone calls regarding this with Frank making the announcement. I get a call this afternoon from an LSU icon. Did not expect this at all. And when something like this happens, you just stop and just pinch yourself, because I had to ask him five consecutive times, is this not AI? Because I have a prior relationship with this legend who made LSU football what it is today. So I get this phone call, and it's Dan Borne, the voice of LSU football. Okay. You guys, if you don't know who he is the PA announcer of 38 seasons before Dixon McMackin took over. And of course, Dixon is a local politician in Baton Rouge. I'm with LSU with Dixon, and I are friends. And I didn't expect it. He called me out of nowhere. And what happened was I said it five times in a row, because now there were plenty of people out there that said when Dan decided to retire, they needed to make an AI of his voice, and it'd still be him doing the voice of LSU. But he called me. He told me he was 100% healthy, and he is a huge fan of the channel. Did not expect it. Did not expect that at all. All right. I was like, wow, this is one of the coolest honors I've ever had. So I was not close with Dan when I was at LSU. I just wasn't. But I did have a few interactions with him. And boy, was he a joy to talk to earlier today. So Dan, if you're watching right now, appreciate your support of PHL. And he agreed to come on in the offseason. So pretty excited about that. David says, I'm 28 and I don't know who that is. Okay. So, David, think about this. It never rains in Tiger Stadium. That's Dan Borne. That was his creation. Okay. Saturday night in Death Valley. What you see in this image back here, if you look at this image and you don't think of Dan Borne's voice booming over the PA announcer system at LSU, you don't. You're not a true LSU football fan. It should have that peach fuzz on your arms sticking up in the air. So, this channel is not about me, but I wanted to do a quick little 3-minute shout out here, or however long it was, to Dan Borne. Okay. Now, we released a 20-minute film study on LSU versus Arkansas. I'll do a few breakdowns here and why you should heavily consider Arkansas to win this game. You know, they are the Arkansas Razorbacks. Okay. Even if they jump out on you, which is highly likely, considering LSU is a slow starting team, and Arkansas this season has been amongst college football's best opening script teams, which means the first 15 plays of every game. Bobby Petrino, of course, is a genius. He has taken the LSU game very seriously over a long period of time. You go back to the second best LSU team of this era, 2011, Arkansas jumped out to a 14-0 lead in that game. So 2011 LSU happened, and then you saw what happened. Now, what was interesting was in the 2010 matchup the year before, that was one of the best offensive called games ever by an SEC OC, as he picked apart one of the best LSU defenses we've ever had, that 2010 unit. So now you fast forward here to where Bobby Petrino is now as a play caller. And even though Arkansas is 2-7, they do lead the SEC in yards per play. Could you imagine that? If you're sitting at home right now saying, man, I would do anything to have a good offense to go along with our great defense. Well, having a good offense doesn't mean shiite if you don't have a good defense to go along with it. And there are plenty of teams in the SEC that are atrocious on one side of the football, but elite on the other. LSU has had mostly an elite defense. Auburn has had an elite defense. Florida's had an elite defense. But all three of those teams have had bad offenses. Arkansas has had arguably their best offense ever, They have a historically bad defense. So what that means is, because I've gotten this comment a lot here on PHL, a lot. If only we had an offense to go along with this defense. There's three other teams in the SEC basically saying the same thing. And why are they saying the same thing? Because nobody in college football has complete teams anymore. This is one of the worst Georgia defenses ever. They have no pass rush. They are bottom five in the entire country in pressure from the defensive line. The Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia, where every single one of their defensive linemen get drafted. There's never going to be super teams anymore. All right. You can make the case that Ohio State has one right now. Well, they're Ohio State. It's just really hard in the SEC where everybody's poaching each other's players, NIL, all that stuff. And it's so hard to be truly elite on both sides of the football. It's hard to be good on both sides of the football. I think it is plausible to be good on one side of the football and very bad on the other, as the four examples we just shared, showing you that that is the case. And the funny thing about it is a lot of these bad units have really elite players on them. If you were to pick one SEC wide receiver to start an entire offense around, you can only draft one. Cam Coleman would be everybody's first overall pick. And I'm not sure if it's close. And there are some other good ones. Chris Brazel. I mean, there's plenty of others you could pick from, but Cam Coleman's by far the best. Lenore Sellers is still going to get drafted high. Tre'Davious Green's a great player for LSU. We might be facing Quincy. Well, we will be facing Quincy Rhodes, a really good defensive end for Arkansas. It's just hard to get all of your ducks in a row. In the SEC. So now we get to why Arkansas can win this game. Well, it's the same problem you had versus Alabama, and it's something else that Frank Wilson brought up in the press conferences pretty much all week. Red zone efficiency. Arkansas has the highest touchdown percentage in the SEC when they get into the red zone. They score a touchdown 80% of the time when they get into the red zone. We score a touchdown 55% of the time when we get into the red zone. So Arkansas scores a touchdown four out of every five times they get into the red zone. We barely score one out of every two times. It's a big difference. Defensively, our red zone defense hasn't been that great either when it comes to touchdown percentage versus the better offenses. And if I were Blake Baker, I would simplify what I do in the red zone because you've had too many busts in terms of wide open touchdowns in the red zone. You had one versus Alabama this past weekend at the end of the half. Arkansas is a really, really, really good red zone offense. And then, of course, the biggest reason why a lot of us think Arkansas very well could win this game is they have the ultimate Achilles heel of the last two seasons of the Brian Kelly era, which is a mobile quarterback on the opposite sideline. Now, last year, we were able to beat Talen Green. A lot of that was because our offense kept him off the field, and we also forced two turnovers. There was a Rashad DeBinion fumble early in the game, and then we had Whit Weeks go Superman and had the interception that pretty much ended it. The score was 16-10. Arkansas had an open RPO, and Whit Weeks picked it off. One of the more incredible LSU defensive plays we have ever seen. So can you rely on that same turnover luck versus a better Arkansas offense? I don't know. You tell me. So for me, when I look at this matchup, a lot of this points to Arkansas being the side here. The line opened up at LSU around 7. It is now down to 5.5. So that means a lot of money has poured in on Arkansas here, with the total set at 57.5 right now. I am always going to keep hammering LSU unders. I just am. It's just how it's going to work. Because LSU has a good defense, and LSU's offense is very putrid. Okay? Now, we then get into, are there any personal beefs? We always talk about this. Is there any reason for one team or one player to be motivated. Obviously, Taylen Green did not have a good game last year. Arkansas, of course, loves this trophy. This is their Super Bowl every year, playing against LSU for the Battle of the Golden Boot. And obviously, Frank Wilson has done a really good job preaching the importance of this game to them. You know, obviously, there is one side story to this. It's Carius Kern. He was an Arkansas commit. He is the highest-rated Arkansas high school football prospect of the past decade. And guess what? Brad Davis flipped him. Brad Davis coached at Arkansas. He was Sam Pittman's protege. He followed Sam Pittman basically everywhere he went. And, well, not necessarily true, but he did get a job from Sam Pittman as his offensive line coach. LSU poaches him from Arkansas, Brad Davis. And Brad Davis flips Carius Kern. And that was ultimately one of the endpoints for the Sam Pittman era. And Sam Pittman, of course, is an offensive line genius. So, obviously, a big game for Carius Kern playing against the home state school. But, you know, other than that, there really isn't a whole lot of, you know, storylines between the two, other than you look at some of the other Arkansas players. Landon Jackson's no longer there. Dwight McLaughlin's no longer there. They had good games versus us when they would play us, and obviously they're former LSU players. You know, we've taken a few of their players as well, Joe Fouché, Greg Brooks. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting, okay? Let's go to Booster6969. I don't care how good a player is if he's on the sideline injured all season, okay? You know what's interesting? You would be in a lot better spot in this game if... Let's see. You would be in a lot better spot in this game if you were LSU. And you win the turnover battle. I know that's kind of like a no-duh thing. Kind of lost my train of thought there. But at the same time, one guy that I keep going back to when it comes to this potentially being a big game for them is Harlan Berry. Arkansas's linebackers simply cannot tackle. They are allergic to it. With that said, our linebackers have struggled tackling as well. I do think some of the tackles we miss are due to, you know, just overall bad angles, football IQ kind of things, being a little overzealous, if you will, where Arkansas's linebackers look like they just don't have the juice. So if I am LSU, and these are the two teams I watch more than any other, these two in Georgia now, here's what I would do. If you really want to win this game, Arkansas's Taylen Green struggles versus zone coverage. All right, he really struggles reading things out. If you blitz him, oftentimes when you blitz, you're playing man coverage behind it. That's when Taylen is going to scramble all over your ass. All right, so I understand Blake Baker likes to blitz. Our blitzes versus him worked in many ways last year. But I'm forcing him, even though LSU's pass rush hasn't been the absolute best, I'm forcing him to win the game in the pocket. So I'm playing very soft zone coverages. Harold Perkins, let's rewind this bad boy back to 2022, use him like that, and, you know, live with the results. And then, of course, you look at the LSU rush defense. LSU's rush defense was really good versus Alabama. Then again, Alabama's run game isn't that good. You know who has a good run game? Arkansas's. Mike Washington, number 4, is a really good player. Carmona, one of their guards, 55, is a really good player. But Arkansas's offensive tackles are not that great. But they can run the football. The most underrated player for the Razorbacks is number 88, Rohan Jones. He's a H-back, tight end, do-it-all kind of guy for him, for them. Older player, too, just a good player. And then defensively, I am just getting the football out quickly and honestly doing a lot of the things you did versus Alabama, force Arkansas to make tackles. Just force them to do it. Have them prove that they can't actually do the thing that you need to do more than anything else when you play defense, which is bring the guy to the ground. Force him to do it. Okay? This game means more to me than anything else. Battle for the Golden Boot. All right, coming up next, we're bringing an Arkansas Razorback guest, and he's going to also tell us, is there true smoke to the Arkansas head coaching search? PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's Power Hour Network listeners and viewers. You might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LabordTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LabordTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LabordTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their 5 locations all throughout the Lafayette region. All righty, show some love to Kyle Sutherland, HogBeat.com. Kyle, who will be the next Arkansas Razorback head coach?
Man, I will say this, Carter. I'm going to give you a cop out. I don't know, but I think we are one step closer. I do think that smoke is real. I do think we are one step. I think we're maybe past the, everybody's going to track planes, right? It's that season for multiple schools. Yeah, it has been for Arkansas for almost 2 months, a month and a half now. You know, LSU, I guess, for a couple of weeks. Auburn's in that boat, Florida too. But I do think that we are at least, we have moved a step forward. And I believe the smoke is real that there will be some interviews next, or well, in the next few days. I think Pete Nakos's report was exactly multiple throughout like the next week or so. But I think that that is accurate, that there are interviews being held, and maybe they have zeroed in on one or two guys that they are really wanting to put their eggs in a basket towards, but they are still talking to people. I am quite confident in that.
Okay, so it's kind of crazy because you're like me. You want to make Arkansas-LSU a big rivalry. It matters so much more to the state of Arkansas, and you know my ties to the natural state. It's funny how outside of like major winning, and that's not a disrespect to Arkansas at all. Sure. I mean, it's just the facts of the matter. Yeah. It's amazing how the ebbs and flows of both programs seem to ride at the same time. Because if you would have told me in the year 2025 that Scott Woodward would be fired before Hunter Yurecek, are you kidding me? I would have never have thunk it. And for those that don't know, Arkansas's athletic director, Hunter Yurecek, I would say for at least a solid year and a half now, Kyle, has been the most unpopular SEC AD. Is that fair?
Probably. I would say okay. So. And that's the thing is he's done a good job. And this is something that Arkansas fans talk about all the time. In the big picture, he's done a pretty good job. The problem is not in the revenue, the main revenue sport. Now, right. he wasn't the one that, you know, there was obviously the chicken man, as they call him. Tyson had a big part of Cal. But you look at softball, baseball, track. I mean, just about every other sport has done really, really well. But You've got to, and LSU, I mean, LSU is a perfect example that Scott Woodward gets fired and he hired two national championship coaches. I mean, the expectations obviously at LSU are as high as any in the entire country, regardless of sport. But I agree with you. I've never, if you would have told me in August that Scott Woodward would be gone before Hunter Yurecek, I would have had to check you for drugs or something.
It's insane to me. And now, how are Arkansas fans reacting to him allegedly being the new head of the college football playoff committee when he is in the middle of a, you know, college football coaching search?
I would say most of them have been, since it's still pretty fresh, most of them have been like, okay, great. Maybe this will lead to something else, like another job. And I've even seen a few fans that were, I've even seen a few fans that have like replied to like Colorado's AD, for instance. I saw like one or two Arkansas fans talk about, oh, please don't take Hunter Yurecek. He's so, you know, just kind of being facetious about it. So I think really most from the few hours that we've had to kind of just let it settle in, that most have just been like, okay, well, he's going to be, he's going to have another chance. Cause there was those rumors coming out that he was going to take a job within the SEC. There was those floating around. Those kind of died maybe a week or two ago, maybe about 2 weeks ago, but that's pretty much the overwhelming consensus for what I've seen so far is that they hope it leads to something else.
Yeah. So it looks as if Hunter will be making this hire, but I will tell you, I don't think he's making this hire, if that makes sense, right? He's he is a figurehead of this, and there's some big guns at Arkansas trying to get this done. I'm trying to figure out who it's going to be, like, because like I just try my best to guess. Because
I don't think Franklin is the front runner. I'm not saying he's not in the mix. I don't think he's the front runner. I'll tell you this: if he doesn't go to Virginia Tech, I've thought it. Now, forgive my ignorance. Is Maryland open? Did Loxley get fired or
no?
Okay, no. So he hasn't. If that one opens, I've actually kind of been looking at the possibility. You know, Florida State. These are just me thinking here. Florida State, obviously, if it opens, Maryland was another that I thought of just because of, I know for a fact that he is tight with Under Armour. So you got that. Also, too, he was, before he went to Vanderbilt, was the OC and, you know, all that, was an assistant coach there. So Maryland's kind of been in the back of my mind, but I don't think Franklin's coming to Arkansas. Again, I'm not saying he's not someone they're not talking, that he's not someone they, you know, haven't been in communication with and they're going to make him say no multiple times, but I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think that's realistic, honestly.
Yeah. It's funny because, the reason why I want to guess this Arkansas coaching search, because this is just God's honest truth. A lot of this is just guessing. A lot of current coaches that are in the mix, they don't know if they're going to take the job yet or not. So I was on KTBS Channel 3 in Shreveport, and they do a lot of Arkansas stuff because they get into South Arkansas. And they had me on the field after 2019 Arkansas LSU do a live hit, and they're simulcast all throughout North Louisiana. And they asked me straight up, hey, who is the next Arkansas coach going to be? And I told them it was going to be Sam Pittman. Now, some of that was,
I remember that.
Okay. So some of that was sourcing, but also some of that was a guess. Okay. It was just like a lean, if you will. So I want to figure out who this is. And if you were to put a gun to my head right now, I would guess it's Silverfield and Memphis.
That's fair. Okay. No, that's a fair. I think he is certainly one of the top three. I would definitely say that. I say too, I've been told by two different sources that are very, very, and I'm not saying they're like super, you know, like great big donors or anything, but they're very connected in Northwest Arkansas. PJ Fleck is someone that you also have to keep in the mix as well. That's one too. When you now, you know, you think about the Lindsay family, they might not, it might not be, we're not talking Tyson and JB Hunt, things like that. But I mean, PJ Fleck, what more can he do at Minnesota? He's like 20 games over 500. I mean, he's done pretty good. I think that's one. I'm not necessarily putting him in my, as one of my top candidates, but I'm not going to forget about him until this search is over.
Kyle Sutherland, our guest, it's interesting. And for those that don't know Kyle, you have a national site, Hogbeat, part of the On3 network, but you're actually more passionate about Arkansas high school football. And, you know, you could have the Drake Lindsey reunion. So Drake Lindsey was, and so I know you're personally rooting for that because you're such a big Drake Lindsey guy, and you're right. He's been a good player and would be a different style of quarterback at Taylen Green, but it would be cool to see him, you know, come back home. For me, I don't think the candidates that LSU are going after bleeds over with the candidates that Arkansas is going after, or I don't know.
Well, it's like, cause you know, Lane, just kind of throwing some stuff out there. Like Lane is probably realistic at LSU. It's not right now. It's just not realistic at Arkansas to me.
Right.
It's just like Pittman. I will say this, when he took it over, I mean, you remember just like what you were talking about a second ago. I mean, it was when you had thrown that, his name out there, it was a laughing stock, and it's not a great job right now, but he at least brought it to the point where it's somewhat attractive. And look, and that's the thing too. And Andy Staples made some really good points about this. One of our national analysts a couple of weeks ago on Pardon My Take, just talking about Indiana. And I mean, then you look at the SEC, Vanderbilt, even I know Missouri, you know, they can't win the big one, but still Eli Drinkwitz has done what he's done there. And it is possible in today's era, especially when you have the backing that Arkansas could, that it is very possible to not only be competitive, but to compete at the highest level. I know that seems silly when you think about Arkansas, because they haven't done that since really the first Petrino era. I say, you know, that's the interim right now, but yeah, it's just, and I feel like too, it's just, it might be someone that we've maybe mentioned, because you know how these go. I mean, I think Peter Burns put out the other day from LSU's coaching candidates in 2021, and wasn't Mel Tucker the betting favorite? I mean, it's just so many things that can come out of left field, I do think that Arkansas is going to have a little bit clearer of a picture, hopefully by this weekend, maybe not necessarily who the hire is going to be, but we have a little bit clearer picture. I feel like in the next week, maybe it could, if the steam continues to pick up, maybe you could find something out in the next week. But then there's still a part of me that says it's going to be either Missouri week, Thanksgiving week, or right after that. It's just kind of it's a gray area right now, because you've got Petrino that has been a candidate for the job since he was announced as interim. And even though he has not won a game as an interim head coach, you think about it. I said this on Wes Moore's show earlier today. You go down to Baton Rouge and beat LSU. I know LSU's not, you know, the LSU that we thought they were going to be 2 months ago, or really even a month ago or whatever, but still, you go down to Baton Rouge and you beat LSU and or somehow I definitely don't think you're going to beat Texas. I don't think they're going to win. Arkansas is going to win either one of those games. But still, it can turn an attitude really quick. There's a lot of upset attitudes right now. And a win of either one of those calibers, just considering the names on the jerseys, can really do some good things in Petrino's favor.
There's still a strong piece of me. If I were Arkansas, I would heavily consider Bobby.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that I'm not saying that I want him. I think that they do need to move, but at the same time, I don't know. I think that also too, Arkansas looks at it from a financial standpoint. They can get him cheaper than a lot of other people. There's so many different things to look at.
7.3 yards per play is what they're averaging. That is hard to do. It is really, really, really hard to do. When you look at the offenses that have had the 7 yard per play mark, there's just not many of them since 2018. In fact, the worst team that got that 7 yard per play mark was 2018 Florida. All the other ones are 2019 LSU, 2020 Bama, 2021 Georgia.
Yeah, they won a natty or went to the playoff or something. Yeah,
but yeah, I tweeted that out.
Good season.
I tweeted that out and it went viral on Arkansas folks, and they're like, "Oh," I was like, "No, I don't think it's going to stand." And obviously, you have the help of I P4 adjusted the numbers, and the Notre Dame game didn't filter through because they're not technically a P4 school. So I said that the Arkansas offense was going to regress, which lends itself to this game. Arkansas's offense has petered off just a little bit, but to me, they're still pretty good. How do you think they match up versus LSU?
Yeah, no doubt. And I was, you know, as I was waiting to come on, I was listening to you talk about the
man, thanks, don't listen to this guy, man.
But man, I'll tell you this, Mike Washington, that's one thing that they nailed. That we would talk as media, like after press conferences during fall camp, and we'd be like, man, this isn't going to happen, or that's not going to happen. And a lot of the, like, the things that they had said haven't happened and probably won't, or certainly won't. But they kept telling us Mike Washington has a chance to be special. He has got a lot of speed. He's a really good player. He's breaking long runs. And our immediate thoughts were, well, this defense is probably just really bad. As we have seen most of this year, they have been, really, other than the Auburn game. But I, like you said, what was it, 7.3 yards per carry right now? I know it's over 7. That's what they're at right now.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. You're going to be on here by yourself. There's something going on with my computer. But we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back. Right after this, we'll get Kyle's prediction. PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy, Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
What's up, man?
Oh, there. We're back. All right.
Yeah. So my computer just started spitting out some random rant. But for me, when I look at the LSU defense, the big thing, Kyle, has been they cannot stop a mobile quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, Talen, we've seen him throw the Auburn game away with an INT. Your thoughts on how Talen's played? I know last year wasn't one of his better games versus LSU. Do you think he is good enough to get this done, to give Arkansas their first SEC win of the season?
I think that if they establish, like, first and foremost, you got to continue to establish the run. Going back to Mike Washington, he's got, I think, a little over 800 yards on the season. And Arkansas hasn't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2022 when Rocket Sanders did it. And I think that if they do come out and they establish the run, like we've seen the success that they've had, I think that Talen can get it done, because that typically opens up. Rowan Jones, you talked about him. He's taken a lot off of Talen. Omega Blake has really been that dude at receiver for him. Raylan Sharp's done some really good things, but Rohan is really just kind of, he's just turned it up a notch, whether he's lined up at fullback and running something out of the backfield. They just do so many things with him. But also heard you mention Harold Perkins, and he terrifies me, because he has had pretty much all, he was phenomenal last week, but Carter, 22 and 23, that was probably the two best games of his career, and both were against Arkansas. So he terrifies me. I guess Whit Weeks probably going to be back, right? It's looking like he, and then the quarterback situation on the other side, I saw the report right before we got, or right before I hopped on here, about Nuss is probable. I mean, what do you think about that? I'm curious. I was talking to one of the On3 LSU writers about this the other day. I mean,
tell me which one.
Matt Byrne.
Okay, Bruni. Yeah, yeah.
Matt Byrne. Matt Byrne is an Arkansas beat writer. Yeah. Yeah, man, when I talked to him, this was before this report came out, so they were thinking probably Muss would maybe get the start. We're going to probably see Van Buren. You would expect that. But at this point, do you think Van Buren starts? Just kind of from what we know now?
Yeah, I mean, he should. I don't know, though, because obviously this Garrett, potentially it's an abdominal situation. I'm tired of guessing at this point.
It's been a lot.
We'll see if he actually plays or not. You know, I thought LSU was going to win this game earlier in the week, but when I kept diving deeper, I'm like, the numbers say Arkansas. But here's a funny thing about Arkansas Razorback Athletics is that when it's logically time for them to win a game,
that's it.
It doesn't happen. Because here's the
thing. Games. That's the thing that hasn't changed. They can't finish them. And I know, you know, that was the thing. There was a huge narrative about, and I'm not saying that there weren't some bad calls against Mississippi State when you think about how little penalized this team was under Petrino previous to that. But I just didn't like how that was continuously brought, because look, you lost the game because you didn't make enough plays. That's pure and simple what happened. Yes, there were some bad calls. Is that the reason why you lost the game? No, it wasn't, because Mississippi State was just better than you and you lost another close one. That's pure and simple what it was.
Okay. Here's the thing about Arkansas athletics, and I have a theory as to why they are truly cursed. Do you agree with me that Arkansas might actually be cursed, like a real thing?
The LSU baseball game and the World Series, I think that finally, because I was always like, oh, come on. And I would go along with the joke. There's a real good friend of mine named Will Watkins, does a lot of great stuff for high school athletics around Arkansas. And he always brings up the Indian burial ground that the U of A is built on. And that's something that's always kind of been an ongoing joke. And I've heard it from other fans, but the game. And look, I had a feeling when and I'm not trying to go off on baseball, but when the NCAA tournament started, I had a feeling that LSU was probably, Cade was pitching. So, I mean, they were just, Ianson was on fire. They were doing so well. So I had a feeling that they were going to do it. But when Arkansas had it, and then they just straight, and not to take any credit away from LSU, but really just kind of gave that away. And that was when I finally said, you know what? I think I'm starting to believe in that curse a little bit.
It's a true curse. I mean, whether you look at Texas Tech basketball this past season or whatever you want to point to, when you hit a hard ground ball to the college baseball player of the season and he doesn't 6-4-3 that thing, you're cursed. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Highlight plays every game. I swear, every single game they had played, what, like 67? They'd have played like around 70 games up to that point. Almost every single one, they're tweeting out highlight plays. And this, is this Derek Jeter 2.0? And then that happens. And you're just like, here we go again.
Wahiva Aloy, one of the best shortstops in the history of the SEC. You hit a hard hit ground ball to him. And everyone points to the line drive fly ball, but that never happens if Wahiva Aloy just turn that bitch, just start it. But you know that it's just part of it, right? You get beat by LSU twice. The last time LSU, well, not the last time, but LSU won a natty when they beat Arkansas twice in the World Series when I went back in 2009. Obviously you're our rivals, but I'm in a group chat with the 12 different Arkansas grads, and they don't even care. They're so beaten down by everything. When they see a win, they'll see a win.
That's a great point, right? And that's why, man, I mean, like right before basketball started, you saw, I mean, we were still doing, we're continuing to do football stuff, but our site was just full of because we're like, where's the Cal content? Where's the top 25 team at the time preseason rank, top 15 team? Where's all that? So yeah, it's just trying to find some sort of positivity anywhere you can find it.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the basketball team is special for you guys this year? I mean, I know y'all lost to Michigan State, but that's Michigan State at home.
Yeah, I think they're going to be – now, am I ready to say they're going to be Final Four good? Not quite. We got to figure out some things in the front court, but I'm not worried about it. Like, all the stuff that we saw from Michigan State game, I mean, you had two freshmen on the floor that still are I think Darius Acuff and Malik Thomas have both done a pretty good job of understanding that, like, they're not the top star anymore like they were, you know, at their prep schools. But I think that this team definitely has a chance to make it to the second weekend for the second year in a row, for sure. But if it all comes together, you get a little bit more out of Malik Ewan and Trevin Brazil, man, I just don't know what's going on with him. You know, he sat out with back spasms the other night and against UCA, and Cal was asked about it. Are you going to have him moving forward? He's like, I don't, like, almost kind of answered it as if, I don't know, that's up to him. That's the way that I took it, just the way that he kind of, his body language. So really you got to figure out some things in the front court. But yeah, Malik Thomas, Darius Acuff, two very special freshmen.
Yeah. Before we let you go, all right, thank you for the Super Chat, FACP, and we'll get to that in just a second. The Kadarius Kearns situation was interesting last year, and this was something that you followed pretty closely.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what do you remember about that? Because this is LSU's true freshman starting left tackle. Had a tough game versus Alabama, but he's overall going to be a really good SEC offensive lineman. He was Arkansas's highest rated recruit in a very long time. Why did he flip to LSU?
I think some of it was NIL involved, but also there was, even back then, there was still some very much uncertainty about this coaching staff. And I'll say one thing. I know that there's been some frustration. And look, you know, he's a true freshman. You're going to make your mistakes. The thing about Carius, though, you know, he's only been an offensive lineman since like 9th, 10th grade. He was he was a receiver. I think I told you that. I might have said this on your show before. Yeah. He was a receiver in like 5th, 6th, 7th grade, like in junior high. So, but crazy athletic. So I guess maybe they wanted to turn him into a tight end or something. But I say all that to say his best is in front of him. I will say this. I hope he does stay there because I think it's going to be a better situation for him. You know, I know we still have to figure out who the coach is going to be, but Carius is an exceptional talent. He's still just really green, not just green because he's a true freshman, but just because he hasn't played offensive line for an incredibly long time.
Yeah, I keep forgetting the wide receiver anecdote, but then you go back to him doing like backflips and stuff like that that you don't normally see from an offensive lineman. All right, Kyle, before we skedaddle, final prediction.
So I'm going to say that Arkansas probably gets off to another fast start. But back to your point about when you think like, okay, well, this team might be struggling. And then we watched LSU last week and talk about the defensive performance. You think about Arkansas in these types of games. I think that they are going to start really hot. And then LSU, Harold Perkins is going to be a problem. That defense could be a problem. And I will say in the end, Arkansas probably loses. Let's go 35-24. I think that there could be some points scored in this one.
Well, I hope you're right.
A good bit of points.
Yeah, well, LSU has not put up north of 25 versus a P4 team. It would be the most Arkansas thing for them to be.
That's my thoughts, is because it's I understand it's not a night. And I know that there's been a whole lot of talk about, you know, the night games might not be what they want, all these different things. I don't care if it's 6 in the morning or 6 at night. It's still – at Tiger Stadium, and it's going to be still, I imagine, a really great environment. And Arkansas just hasn't proven that they can get it done.
Yeah. Yeah. Kyle, we appreciate you. Make sure you check out hogbeat.com. And one of our private passions, of course, is Arkansas high school football. So we appreciate you big time, man. And we'll talk to you soon, bro.
I absolutely. Always enjoy, Carter. Appreciate it.
All right. Kyle Sutherland, longtime friend. It's one of those things. We have had so many guests on here that I've never met in person. Never met Kyle in person. Not yet. But he is awesome. Okay. So let's get to the Supers, and we'll keep this party moving. Thursday Night Live. Good to see you, each and every one of you. Let's face it. LSU will start Van Buren and blame Ness's bad season on an abdominal injury that might help his draft stock. Yeah, so let me go through a few things that I have discussed with people that covered the NFL draft and, you know, work in the NFL. I've shared before, and I shared a press box pic of me and T-Bob on Twitter. And it was the last time LSU and Arkansas played during the day in Tiger Stadium. That pic was taken in 2017. Now, it just also happened to be the first day that my wife and I started talking. So it's a game that means a lot to me. And it was, you can go to Twitter and you could see the photo for yourself. But you look at this season for Garrett Nussmeier. One big thing that Garrett's going to have in his favor, and it is a massive thing, is pretty much everything that I discussed in yesterday's live stream. And it's PFF grades. All right, so NFL, the NFL and their scouts, they deploy scouts that watch every single snap of all these players that they're interested in drafting. And they will see that Garrett has regressed horribly. But at the same time, scouts only have a finite amount of time, and they will go to the PFF grades, and they would say, look, PFF, which grades every snap, has Garrett as the best player on this offense for the second consecutive year. And LSU has the worst supporting cast of below average players in the SEC. And I appreciate Danny Girl sharing this. And earlier today, when Dan Bornay randomly called me, once again, Dan, I really appreciate that. not talked to him in a very long time. It was cool that he's a fan of the channel and he did agree to come on during the offseason. You know, it's interesting. When I told Dan this over the phone, I really didn't mean it. I'm not the biggest fan of just covering the same coaching rumors over and over again. At my core, I like to analyze football. And yesterday's stream wasn't the most well-watched stream, but it was a vintage PHL stream in that it was a deep dive that we did on how not so great the LSU offense actually is. And it's not really anything deeply analytical. It's just basic counting. That's pretty much a lot of our deep dives, just basic counting, where we find people smarter than us that do data analysis. And I try and make it to where you can consume it easily as, you know, LSU football fans. So Garrett does have that going in front of him. Garrett could take my entire stream from yesterday, even though I bashed him, and say, look, this is what I had to work with. 10 of our 19 guys that have played at least one snap out of every four this season are below average players in the eyes of PFF. Okay. Once again, PFF is not the be all end all. NFL teams feel the same way, but they mostly use PFF data as well. And then, of course, Garrett has this very obscure injury situation where before the season, lower body injury, also a re-aggravation of the abdominal injury. I am telling you right now, though, all right, and once again, Garrett very well could be hurt, and this is where it gets dangerous, and people, someone called me out earlier, don't spread rumors or whatever. This is not a rumor, all right? This has been told to me by players who have actually worn the jerseys for LSU this year, and a staffer, sources, all that stuff, and I'm not source guy either. They have been sick of the injury situation with Garrett. Okay. It's just been frustrating. It's been frustrating for us. And obviously we matter, but the ones that are in that building when it comes to the actual injuries that, you know, everybody's going through, they're sick of it. It's part of why a good chunk of the team wanted to go to MVB, to where it wasn't the question of, hey, can Garrett actually go out there and get it done? It's, if we don't know, let's go to someone we know is healthy, we know has SEC experience. So whether he was playing hurt or not, I will tell you, and once again, I won't bring his name up so it doesn't get in the crosshairs again. There was a former LSU player that brought up how frustrated he was with, you know, LSU writhing in pain on the, or Garrett writhing in pain after every hit on the ground, get up and just get to the next play. It's frustrated. It's been frustrating. Okay. You know, I think that would be a little bit more tolerated if we were actually winning, as are a lot of things. Brian Kelly would still be here if we were winning, but you know, once again, I wish the best for Garrett. I love Garrett. I always will. I think this revisionist history about 2024 and Garrett was bad last year is just nonsense. But we are where we are right now with him. Now, as far as MVB is concerned, the good thing, let's just say Michael Van Buren is the starter. And let's just say it's like short notice and we were planning to start Garrett the entire time. And let's just say for certain in this hypothetical that Garrett actually truly got hurt today in practice, which according to Frank Wilson, that's what happened. We played the audio for you a little bit earlier. So let's just say you are concerned. You're concerned that Michael Van Buren is making his first SEC start with a short notice behind a bad offensive line with a good group of LSU wide receivers or wide receivers to throw to. Our wide receiver group is very good. I don't think it's elite, but it's very good. Good to very good. Whatever. But what if I told you that if Michael Van Buren were to start versus Arkansas this weekend, this would be by far the worst Power 4 defense he has faced as a starter. One thing you can always point to about Michael Van Buren, and you don't need to watch a lick of him play at Mississippi State, is all you need to do is look at all the teams he played last season. He did not play a single bad team. In fact, the worst team he played last year was Arkansas. That was the worst team that he played. And they were decent. They were, I mean, they were bad, honestly, but that was the worst team. And this defense for Arkansas is worse than last year's Arkansas defense. Van Buren played Ole Miss elite defense, played Tennessee very good defense, played Texas elite defense, played Georgia elite defense. So he's used to being put in hostile situations. What's the one SEC game that he played the most in this season? Oh, just happened to be the toughest draw you could potentially get, which is a night game at Alabama. So, you know, as far as MVP getting this, if he were to start because of this Garrett injury, he is well within his comfortable nature to play in this game. Okay. Oh, look, BZ calling me Unc again. I like it. I like it. It is funny, and it's also kind of strange, but I've enjoyed it. I'm starting to get – I actually do have nieces. Haley's nieces have kind of become my nieces, and it's been cool. They call me Kunkel because my name begins with C and all of that. So it's cool. It's cool. I guess I am an uncle, and I'm very proud to have my nieces. Love them dearly. Die for them. So there you go. Shout out Preshi, Buka, and Ruth. What's out of Billy? FACP. So yeah, Unk is doable for me. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10, we're going to answer as many as we possibly can. If you have super chat, we'll keep it going. I will say, as you guys know, I love going on Blake Ruffino's show. I love going on Arkansas shows. I love going on whichever shows. I'm supposed to go on a Tennessee show pretty soon. Last night on AYS got crazy. Got crazy. But you, and I know some of you have some dirty minds. I don't know if I would consider my mind to be dirty because dirty humor isn't necessarily my favorite. I just like good humor. Like, I like all different types of humor. But a lot of you like the pause moments here on PHL. I'm not afraid to go away from the pause moments, all right? In all my years of broadcasting, the greatest pause of all time was from Blake Theodore Ruffino on his stream last night during my appearance when we brought up the conversation of Arby's. So if you, and it's not what you normally associate with pause material with Arby's. It wasn't a roast beef joke. It was something way more diabolical. So if you want to see that, you can check it out for yourself. And I saw Blake was in the chat a little bit earlier. I don't know if he's still in here or not, but love going on there. Let's go to Franco Nation. Carter, what about Hurley? If MVP wants a red shirt, can he play as well? And they all keep their red shirts. Yeah, so let's talk about Colin Hurley. Full disclosure, I'm not talking to Colin in a while. All right, and he's been through a lot. Had the off-field automobile accident. And, you know, it is important, you know, as you get to this point in the season where it's pretty evident what certain players are going to do. Okay, so, you know, as far as Colin's availability or not, you remember last season it was pretty much out there that Ricky Collins had beat out AJ Swan as a top backup. And then when Garrett got hurt versus Oklahoma, it was Swan that went in. Why was that the case? Well, it was known that Ricky was transferring. So I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know if Colin's transferring or not. But I will say that it is very interesting that there has been no discussion as far as Colin Hurley is concerned and his potential to play. Because that would be a very interesting question as far as the redshirt availability of one or the other. I get a lot of stuff wrong. I share a bunch of wild opinions. Okay. My most obscure opinion that turned out to be right was Colin Hurley should have played versus Southeastern instead of MVB because you would not be in this situation. And once again, that was a game where MVB got the most reps. So if that's the case, then don't play him at the end of Texas A&M. Because Colin Hurley has already used a redshirt season. So why not play him and see what you have? While at the same time doing right by Michael Van Buren. Mike says Peyton Houston will lead LSU to a guaranteed college football playoff. That's a good guess. I like Peyton Houston a lot. You won't hear me say that because, once again, I get a lot of stuff wrong. I said when Walker Howard committed. Actually, I didn't say that when he committed because he had not made a start. But I said after watching his junior year of tape that Walker Howard would lead us to the college football playoff. That's how long I've been doing this. So I will never do the high school recruit will lead us to the playoff again. Because I think I did the same with Bryce Underwood. I think part of that was because Bryce was a guest, and I was gassing him up. All right, I can't put your comment up there because you have a bad word on it. But I don't know why you would shame someone for losing a bunch of weight. So we will... block that. Now, if you're going to call me fat, you can call me fat all you want. David says Juwan Johnson at quarterback. Sure. I think for quite a few of us, you know, the Juwan Johnson story has been good. He's done some really good things, and he has stepped up for us in a major way. As kind of this gadget role player who very well could have taken a redshirt year this year as well. But also a reminder, don't take what I said about Peyton Houston a minute ago as an insult at all. I'm not going to predict any high school recruit to win a national title. Now, I'll predict a high school recruit to be all SEC. But winning a natty, I mean, that's tough. That's putting a lot on a kid. Got some Harold Perkins chatter in here. I will say the 2022 Harold Perkins game was truly breathtaking. Okay. Now, once again, some revisionist history makes the game a little bit different, right? There were some good and bad that came from the game. My favorite thing that actually came from that game was what was it again? It was the Michael Jordan quote that they had about Harold Perkins. It was a joke that Brian Kelly told. I think a lot of you are going to miss his humor. Sarcasm. But Brian Kelly shared a joke that Harold Perkins didn't know who Michael Jordan was. And it was a joke. I hope. You know, one thing I do find interesting is, and you know, a lot of us have brought up the voodoo from 2019 LSU. What did we sell to have 2019 LSU? Well, we're not even remotely close to being the most cursed SEC team. In fact, you can make a case that there's no better team to be a fan of than LSU. There is none. And I say that as an LSU fan and as an objective person, because everybody wants to be LSU. And I not even brought up Paul Skeens. Cy Young winner. Super cool. Olivia Dunn, his girlfriend. Super cool. All that stuff about LSU is great. Angel Reese, all this other stuff. By the way, LSU women's basketball gets a big victory versus Charlotte. Well, it wasn't a big victory. Yeah, it was. Because Kim Mulkey said after the game, we had a lot of technicals. Charlotte came in to Baton Rouge talking that Shiite. They talked a lot of trash going into this game. A lot. For what reason? I don't know. And we ran it up on them. We had a lot of technicals. It was like that for us. And that was perfect. Because number one, we won a game comfortably. Kim Mulkey said we need to be more disciplined. But she also excused the technicals because she saw all the stuff that the Charlotte players were saying. But, you know, we'll cover more women's basketball when the actual games get going here. But, you know, we're very fortunate. You could be an Arkansas fan. You could be a South Carolina fan. You could be all those different fans where all they know is just sadness. Imagine A&M having this magical season and they get blown out by Texas and they're one and out in the playoff, which would be the most A&M thing imaginable. So we're not cursed. We didn't sell anything. But at the same time, I would arguably take worse results over the last 5 years, and I would still not trade anything for 2019 LSU. In fact, there is nothing that could happen regarding LSU football that I would trade for 2019 LSU. And the reason I say that, literally, if the football gods came down and said, Carter, the next 5 seasons, LSU is going to go 3-9 on average. You have to give up 2019 LSU for that. I'm not giving it up. Because there is some true value in every single conversation being this team versus 2019 LSU. And the latest is, of course, 2025 Ohio State versus 2019 LSU. They're starting to do this. And you knew it was going to happen. And it's 2025 Ohio State. Are they good? Yeah. They're very good. Could their quarterback win the Heisman? Yeah. Julian Sain's really good. Are their wide receivers as good as ours? Conversation could be had. Tight end room's good. Offensive line's good. Their pass rush is probably better than ours with the Arvell Reese. Caleb Downs, is he better than what we had at safety that year with Grant Delpit and Jacoby Stevens? Yeah, you can make that very strong case that is the case. But you know that's not going to happen. You know they're going to falter somewhere. And it is still cool that every single person goes back to 2019 LSU. You know what they don't do? They don't go compare it to 2020 Alabama or 2022 Georgia. Those offenses were very, very, very good. But every time, people point to 2019 LSU. And there's value in that. Are there more teams that have had more playoff success? You betcha. I'm trading a whole hell of a lot to always have that in my corner. Now, another rant for you on this glorious Thursday. And by the way, big thanks to Jamie. She sent me a LSU devotional book. And it's funny, I wanted to make sure you were in here, Jamie. I opened that devotional book, and then an hour later, Dan Bornay calls me. Really cool stuff. And I won't say who did this, but Dan had to get, because I'm low on the totem pole. I'm not important in the LSU atmosphere. Dan had to get my number from someone else, and he went out of his way to really share how much he enjoys the channel. So, cool stuff. Now, I hate to tell you, I told you so. And this could still be wrong. This still very well could be wrong. My opinion on this could change. And it's not a right or wrong thing. It really is a subjective thing. So there is an AP college football voter, and his name is Ralph Druso. Okay, and Ralph tweeted something out, and it made the rounds. And he was pointing out how Ohio State, this season, they don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Indiana. They've avoided some of the better teams in the Big Ten. And then what did Ralph Druso tweet out today? Or what else was included in that tweet? Well, it's Texas A&M. Texas A&M doesn't have to play Alabama. Texas A&M doesn't have to play Georgia. Texas A&M doesn't have to play Ole Miss. Texas A&M avoids Vanderbilt, and so on and so on. All right, so they don't have to play these really, really, really good teams in the SEC. Well, you know what's coming to fix that? The 9-game conference schedule. I'm telling you right now, this is always going to happen in the SEC. And to a certain extent, it's going to happen again in the 9-game conference schedule era because you're always going to be avoiding teams. It's just so hard to dodge teams altogether. Texas A&M, imagine how much worse Texas A&M would have been during the Jimbo era if they had to play Georgia every once in a while instead of getting to play South Carolina every year. That's a cross-division. It's crazy. That's a cross-division rival, to be clear. And I won't get into what all that means. Most of you know what that means. But, you know, I just keep going back to how much more I think you guys are going to enjoy the 9-game conference schedule. It's also important to understand, though, that there is a trade-off with that. You're going to lose more games, not only as a conference, but you, LSU. So, yes, when you look at the Big Ten and you look at how putrid their bottom is, and you take a look at the SEC and you look at the bottom of the SEC and how, honestly, the bottom of the SEC is pretty good. Bottom of the SEC is pretty good. There's not really any bad teams in the bottom of the SEC. We are playing the last place SEC team this Saturday. They have the best offense in the conference. In yards per play, they have the best offense. Is LSU a bad team? Yeah, we're not that good. We are not that good. But how many bad teams have Monsieur Delane on them and A.J. Halsey and Braylon Moore and Barry and Brown? Guys that are still good. Harlan Berry, Tre'Davious Green. The bottom of the SEC is pesky. There's no Northwesterns. Florida's a good football team. They've got talent. I mean, they've probably given up at this point, especially considering what happened with their coach, Billy Napier, or their fired coach, now helping Georgia out. It's crazy. Mississippi State's a good team. I'm not saying they're great teams. There's just no rollovers. Georgia has lost one game, 3 points to Alabama. There have been four games this year where you could point to a point in that game where you're like, Georgia's going to lose. And they've won all those games. So, yeah, you can make a very strong case that Ohio State and Indiana are better than any of the SEC teams. A very strong case can be made. But it is a hard argument to not say that the bottom of the SEC isn't better and way better than the bottom of the Big Ten. Okay, let's go to Jordan. I worry we underestimate the damage Brian Kelly has done, and we think we can just shake it off that juju real quick. Yeah, so look, the truth is you can turn programs around quickly. What I think is going to happen in college football is the idea of chemistry. All right, that word gets brought up a lot. I just think in sports, the word chemistry is going to be overused. I don't think chemistry matters as much just as a general concept around sports. And chemistry, of course, can be oftentimes synonymous with, let me see, what would be a good word? Continuity. Chemistry and continuity is how long have you played together? It's funny because you look at a lot of the quarterbacks in the SEC this season that returned to their teams, and a lot of them just have not been as good as we thought. You know, Arch Manning had a few starts with the Texas Longhorns. Hasn't been as good as we thought. Same thing with DJ Lagway. Hasn't been as good as we thought. Same thing with Garrett Nussmeier. Hasn't been as good as we thought. Now, of course, there is a guy in Talen Green who's been better, who we play this weekend. And, of course, you have Diego Pavia. But there are a lot of guys that show up, and they've shown out. First year as a starter. Gunnar Stockton, hardly any experience. Wouldn't have had any experience if 15 Carson Beck didn't get hurt. No problem. He's been fine. Trinidad Chambliss has been a superstar. John Mateer, brand new. One of the better QBs. Joey Aguilar, probably the best example of this, has been pretty good. So with 7-on-7, and I should have asked Kyle about this because he does, the guest that we had just on a minute ago, he is an expert at this. He covers high school sports so well. Like, he really understands Arkansas high school sports, but just high school sports in general. And what he is a big proponent of, and not necessarily in favor, but he is a proponent of making this conversation, you know, more public, is the high school transfer portal. How often kids transfer from high school to high school. So at 7-on-7 and all these different things, kids transferring is a lot more common. So, you know, continuity and chemistry is just one of those, like, kind of buzzwords. You can come in and show in and show out. So, you know, as far as LSU having a dark season next year, yeah, it very well could happen, depending on who the hire is. But it could get turned around pretty quickly. You know, one thing that's very interesting about the BK era, and I don't think this has been discussed enough, but I just want to point out that there have been multiple coaches who have left Brian Kelly and have been superstars at their new job. Okay. I mean, super duper stars. And there's two big ones. Okay. Obviously, Mike Dimbrock has been really good. He's been very, very, very good. And, you know, it's not, you know, when Dimbrock left, we were like, oh, okay, this could just be a Jaden Daniels thing and we'll have continuity with Joe Sloan. That was just a terrible take by a lot of us. You know, when Mike Dimbrock announced that he was leaving and going to Notre Dame, I said at the time that it was a big loss, but it was serviceable with Sloan. And there's a lot of rumors out there as far as was Mike forced out or whatever. But the truth is, he is a very good coach for Notre Dame. I also want to bring up that there is a man who, at his new job, is by far the leader in the category that they most associate with greatness for the position he coaches. And not only does he lead the league in this category, he does so at its highest level, the NFL. And that is none other than Jamar Cain. Okay. The Broncos are by far the NFL leaders in pressure, sacks, per Amazon and the Thursday night football game. I probably should have confirmed this just in case, but Jamar Cain was an excellent defensive line coach. He was a big proponent of Braden Swenson. He was right about that. And for whatever reason, we wanted to go in a different direction. So who are his defensive linemen for the Broncos? Well, they're good players, but it's not like Nick Benito's Miles Garrett or TJ Watt. He's good. So just something to stew on. But there you go. All right. Don't forget, I will be at the game on Saturday. So we're going to try out a few things at the game. This could backfire. But I'll try and do an actual stream from the game, or I'll do play-by-play of the game, which will mean more than likely I'll be slightly ahead of you guys. We're going to try it out, me and Clifton. We're going to try it. So be on the lookout for that this weekend. We'll do a post-game show. It probably won't happen directly after the game. So we will see you on Saturday. Okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Shout out our top super chatter, the only super chatter, our good friends at FACP Monitoring. We really appreciate you. And tonight, we are doing, oh, we're doing bacon and eggs. Let's go. Let's go.